On today's podcast, we talk about repair. How do I re-engage that email list? How do I reconnect with my clients? How do I bring this back into integrity? Plus, how do I use this on myself to have the most powerful, ubiquitous tool that guarantees that there's no disconnection? It's always above ground integrity, and I have a clear path to my success. That's what we cover in today's show. So without further ado, let's get into the episode. And my fingers... Yeah, if you're watching this, I just did really weird things with my fingers and like painted and twirled with the air, but I'm going to leave it in. And so if you're listening to this, you're going to have to go find the video to see what I did. But now let's get into the show.
Are you ready to ethically scale your business? Good. Because this is the Mind of George podcast, where relationships beat algorithms and depth is the only direction when it comes to ethically scaling your business. Each Monday and Friday, I'll be the guy between your ears in the hoodie and pink shoes guiding you home, giving you the tools to extract, honor, and amplify your genius so you can be the light for your customers. Sound fabulous? Cool. Let's get into the episode.
Oh yeah, today's podcast is going to be about repair, and this one is going to be ubiquitous at every single level. Like, I mean, how to re-engage my email list, how to re-engage my people on social, how to reconnect with my teammate that I feel disconnected from, how to reconnect to that thing that is an open loop in my brain. Repair, repair, repair. And so Ashley saw and found this incredible Instagram reel from this woman sharing a story about how to do repair in the lens of parenting. And I can personally say, and this reel is linked below, I can personally say that this is something that I'm in right now with my son in his school and learning how to reparent myself and label feelings and handle situations. And even reminds me of a deep, deep teaching from John Wineland that I learned a long time ago about the rigidity with the definition of integrity. And for me, he explained it that integrity is what we're currently focusing on, like what's currently in front of us. Because in this moment right now, and I'm recording this podcast, if we were to call my son and ask him where he wanted me to be, it wouldn't be here, right? And so I'm technically out of integrity with him until I get home and adjust that. But I choose to be here and in integrity here. And that is a big distinction and breakthrough that landed for me. And this episode today, but this reel specifically, has one of the most profound, simple, and basically guaranteed to work every single time in any bucket that you ever apply it to repair or re-engage at any single level. And so as she's talking about it in the lens of parenting, I want you to listen to it in the lens of whatever lands for you, whether it's a teammate, whether it's a business partner, whether it's a close friend, whether it's a relationship with yourself, you're repairing your word to yourself. Like, what is repairing? And these are her words and they are incredible, but they basically, repairing is the act of going back to a moment of disconnection, taking responsibility for your behavior. And my one distinction on that is, we never didn't have responsibility. We're 100% responsible 100% of the time. There's no taking it back. We've always had it. So I would say repairing is the act of going back to a moment of disconnection, owning our responsibility for our behavior, and acknowledging the impact it has on another. Apologies often look to shut a conversation down, and a good repair opens one up. And that line tickled so much. And I can think of hundreds and hundreds of times that I used to say I was sorry, because what I was really saying is, I'm saying I'm sorry because I'm not interested in hearing the feedback or making adjustments, and I can't sit with this emotion. And really, it was because I was beating myself up. I was upset with myself. And instead of rectifying the situation, I'd create these false, rigid finish lines that it's either black or white. And it had to look or be a certain way. And what's so interesting is I even have a model that I made called the AAA model that we used to teach in the lens of all email marketing on how to re-engage a list. And the steps were identical to what this incredible woman shares in this clip. And it took me until now to realize how ubiquitous they all are and how simple it can be and how complicated and difficult I made it for so long. But why is repair so important? It's because it allows us to open the door to teach our kids a new skill, to teach ourselves, to lead by example, and to show a new behavior, as opposed to either side of us shutting down and feeling like we blamed either side for the situation. And I can think about so many reasons, but like, here's the lens of email. I get asked all the time, well, how do I re-engage my email list? Well, the three key elements of a good repair that she shares, and I love all of them: acknowledge and label what happened, right? We get to own it. Number two, be responsible. I owning it, not from a place in bad or wrong, from a place of growth. Like, I think about the hundreds of times we have conversations with friends and we're just talking and we accidentally cut one of them off. I do this all the time because I get so excited and I'm afraid my human design is going to forget and the brain thing's going to be gone and I'll cut my friends off. And in that moment, I'm like, hey, wait, I'm so sorry. I just want to acknowledge I cut you off and I am so sorry. I cut you off. I interrupted you. I would like to pause, take a breath, and hear your question again, right? And we do this all the time, but we don't do it ubiquitously across the board, because if we think about how we promised our email list that we would email them once a week, every week, and then we stopped and it's been 8 weeks. If we just go email and pick up where we left off, there's a lack of trust on both sides. That's hollow ground. But that first email would be the same thing. Hey, I just wanted to acknowledge that I promised you that I would email you once a week, and I stopped doing that. And without stories and evidence, there truly are no excuses, except I didn't prioritize it. And here's what I was feeling in the stories I made up. But in that lens, in the spirit of repair, here's what I'm committed to and here's my plan, because I'm going to continue to do this and I have a system and process in place because I'm interested in building a relationship with you. And if you'd love to respond, I'd love to hear your feedback and know how I can best support you. That will work all day, every day on email. It also works with our team. It also works with our kids. It also works with ourselves. Because I think about all the times I made commitments to myself, or I set my word, right? And I've shared this in keynotes before, where I'm like, how many of us start our day lying to ourselves and then expect positive results? I'm like, well, what do you mean? I'm like, how many of you set your alarm this morning, right? Everybody's hand goes up. And I'm like, how many of you hit snooze, right? And most of the hands stay up. And I was like, even subconsciously, before we went to bed, we set that alarm and we made a deal with ourselves. And then the moment that situation showed up, we snoozed. And there's nothing wrong with snoozing. But what I say to them is, like, why wouldn't you set your alarm for 5:07 instead of 5, or however long the snooze thing is, right? And it's really about constantly keeping things in integrity, because repair happens when there's moments of disconnection. And moments of disconnection happen when we break our word, when we react, when we retreat. And if you haven't listened to it, I would highly go recommend listening to episode 468, which was 2 episodes ago, because it is incredible about helping us find these distinctions in places where we create the disconnection to then need to repair it. But repair is the most beautiful part, because it goes straight to the source, it gets straight to the meat, and it creates the most possibility every single time. And as parents, we do this, right? We'll be in the car, our kids will be listening to the iPad, they'll ask us a question, we'll not hear them, we'll cut them off, or whatever situation happens, and then we acknowledge them. We acknowledge and name what happened. We are responsible and say, Daddy did this, Daddy didn't mean this, here's Daddy's intention. And here's what Daddy's going to do differently. You know, what can we do? And to the point of, like, even with Branson and I, since he was a very young age, we've worked on this. And so if we're ever talking, he will come up to me and he'll put his hand on my arm. And that lets me know, hey, Daddy, I want to talk. I want to say something. And so the moment I put my hand on his hand, he knows that I see him and I acknowledge him. And as soon as there's a break, I will let him in. But that came from us being in cars and in the house and constantly over interrupting each other and, you know, competing for energy and attention with a 4-year-old and a 5-year-old and then, you know, conversations around. And that was an example of repair. And so these things are around us all the time. But if there's anything in our life or anything in our world that's out of integrity, those are the slow killers. Those open loops, we feel them, we think about them, but they don't go away. They don't magically heal themselves. They don't magically close themselves. And at some point, we have to triage the situation and create a positive result. The craziest part for me is that, like, this podcast alone and this conversation around repair is probably one of the biggest shadows that I ever had. And, like, I would have clients and we would go a couple weeks without speaking and I would start making up stories. And then I'd start to adjust my behaviors. And then instead of just going straight to the source, I would make up stories and then it would either be right or wrong. But then there were these massive reactions that came with it. And now in hindsight and looking back at all the times I did that, every which way that happened, the craziest part is that even the ones I avoided, that I retreated from, that's that podcast 468, two shows ago. Eventually, I still got to have the repair conversation, except the time in between was just suffrage for me. Because instead of finding the clarity or creating solid ground or being in alignment, I just waited and waited and waited. And then more and more pain followed. And so when it comes to repair, repair is anywhere where we have disconnection, right? We might have promised our followers we'd show up here or post this, and we forget that in any relationship, which is what we're doing, we're building relationships with people publicly, privately, friendships, communities, team, other entrepreneurs, other people in our life, is we're building relationships. And when we build relationships, we make commitments. Some of them are spoken, some of them are unspoken, but there's expectations. And really the number one way to have solid relationships is clear communication. And clear communication comes down to us when we find moments of disconnection, being able to lean in and create an ideal situation on both parties and repair it. Because the last thing we want is to create more disconnection or more divide. And the only way to do that is to repair. And so her three steps are, the three elements of a good repair are: number one, acknowledge and name what happened. Number two, be responsible. I, not you. And number three, state what you would do differently next time to be clear and manage that communication and expectation. And this is the number one magic way. And I've had this happen so many times now, and I forget that it always follows the same magical thing. But relationships grow. You and your friendships grow. Think about friends where you used to talk every day and now you talk a little bit less, but you have that little bit of guilt in your heart that you're like, oh, I don't know. But that guilt or that threat or that feeling like eats at us, when in actuality, if we just pick up the phone and call our friend or send an audio or send a video and say, hey, and by the way, I did this morning. I love you, PJ. In the spirit of recording this, I had one of those. And I had a moment of disconnection around a business that I'm a part owner in, and I'm on the equity board, and there's been some open loops. And I kept seeing PJ's name in my top 9 on my iPhone. And I was like, what's this feeling? And then this morning it hit me, or yesterday it hit me with an open loop. And I literally just sent a message and I was like, hey, brother. And I literally went through these steps. And right before this podcast, we had the most beautiful 7-minute FaceTime of tears, commitment, and the stories I was making up weren't real. And yet for the last couple of weeks at a very low level and sometimes a big level, it was literally eating at me in the pit of my stomach. And the moment I went straight to the source and I did all of these steps, it created nothing but a magical opportunity. We also get to be prepared that sometimes those magical opportunities are direction changes or shifts that were coming anyways, except we were just delaying it, making it harder and harder for ourselves to get clarity. And so what these are really like required principles for communication to have relationships and both parties feel safe. And I think the biggest breakthrough in repair is using these repair steps for ourselves and really using them in the lens of how we operate, how we set our word to ourselves, how we build a relationship with ourselves, how we honor ourselves and celebrate ourselves, the way that we talk about ourselves. Because at the end of the day, it's really up to us. Our joy is our responsibility. Our emotions are our responsibility. And I found that this is the sneakiest and the most disconnection points in my life tend to always be created around myself. And these repair steps tend to be the most powerful and profound when I use them on that relationship with myself. But there's always this profound waterfall that follows, that if I repair my word to myself, I keep my word, I acknowledge and name what happened if I have a bad day or I get off, and I recognize that it was still my choices or my inputs or my reactions or any of those things that created it, then in that space, I can sit and I can make a new plan for myself and a recommitment to myself to follow. And I have found magically that every time I do that with myself, the waterfall trickles down into every single bucket in my life below that level, which is why I say nobody has a marketing problem, or nobody has a marketing problem, everybody has a relationship problem with themselves, their team, and their customers informed in that order. And for me personally, and I can't speak for any of you, but I genuinely now know and have nothing but evidence that even if I'm showing up in quote unquote integrity with my team or with my customers, but I have disconnection points with myself, every single thing besides that is tainted and never creates the result I want. But this lens of repair is really just a tool to keep us focused on what we would like, focused on the field, focused on what matters. And being in integrity and in alignment is the most powerful way to do that. But you might have an entire community that you haven't dropped a piece of content with in 2 weeks and you promise them every week. But the longer that continues, we actually have an exercise we do at events sometimes or in rooms or in coaching sessions called the stinky fish. And the analogy is really hilarious. But if I was to go buy you or catch you, I live in Montana, so we'll do the catch, right? Like, and maybe you like fish, but I catch you the most beautiful trout that you've ever seen. I'm like, I'm going to give it to you. But I come put it under the front seat of your car, right? And I pretend it's not there. It's going to start to smell, right? The longer it sits, the worse it smells. And eventually it sits long enough that the smell becomes permanent, and then it becomes unremovable. And then it becomes to the point where the car has to be salvaged. But in actuality, if the moment I smelled it instantly, I reached under the seat and I pulled it out and put it in the fridge, freezer, or trash, it wouldn't cause that permanent damage in my car or in my life. And that's what this repair is. It's when we find those moments, whether they tickle our heart, whether we're sitting in prayer, we're driving in the car and we think about that thing or that feeling in our body. Those are the invitations for repair. And these are the steps to follow, but they apply everywhere. Coaching, consulting, marketing, relationships, friendships, kids, conversations with your team, even conversations with the baristas at coffee shops. And I think about the amount of times I've been in a coffee shop and I've had somebody ask me how my day was, and I was disconnected in that moment. And I would say something or check a box and not be present. And those things land on my heart. And I've numerous times, hundreds of times, gone in the next day and been like, why do I feel weird? Like, oh, I'm about to order coffee. And I was like, oh. And then I'll order. I'm like, and I just wanted to say, I'm sorry. I realized that yesterday you asked me how my morning was. I didn't even make eye contact with you. And it had nothing to do with me, you. I was completely consumed in my own world, and I apologize for not making you important or being present. I'd like to start right now by saying, hey, how's your morning? And those moments feel like freedom to me. They feel like magic. They feel like life, and they feel like I can always put my head on the pillow, because if it's up to me, it's up to me, right? And I'll share a very personal story to wrap this. Feedback is something that I've had an interesting relationship with, and I'd say for the last 10 years, from like 2010 to 2021, feedback scared the ever-living shit out of me. I couldn't take it. I'd beat myself. I'd be upset about it. And it was a challenge, a massive, massive challenge, massive, massive relationship problems, massive business problems. And then I started to get it. But then I realized about 9 months ago, I started to get excited about it. And I had like one of the biggest breakthroughs ever because I was standing in the kitchen with Lindsay and she's like, hey, can I give you feedback? I'm like, oh yeah, totally. And she starts giving me feedback and she's like, you're smiling. I'm like, oh my God, I love this. I can't wait to repair this. And she gave me feedback that had to do with her, but it had to do with five people in town that I had barely known. I was at a kid's school function and I was having some conversations, but I was really off. I was having a bad day. And each one of them independently gave feedback to Lindsay at different points about how hard I was to talk to. And all I did was make it about me. And all I said was my clients, this and posturing here. And there was a time where that used to happen and I would spiral. I would spiral for months. And this conversation happened about 9 months ago. So this is present. And literally she gives me the feedback and I asked for support. And I was like, well, what can I say differently? She's like, the feedback was every time I spoke or answered a question, I was always posture right. I'd be like, oh, well, my client said this or I did this here. And she looked at me and she's like, just talk. And I'm like, huh? She's like, yeah, just say, I think, or I feel, or I do. And I was like, holy crap, that's really, really simple. And I also recognized that 3 years earlier, I'd gotten feedback that all I ever did was talk about myself. And so I intentionally flexed a muscle of working on always framing and giving credit and doing it. But then on both sides, I lost my identity. It was never really me. The first side was all ego. And the second side was all fear. And so she's like, yeah, just do this. And I'm like, oh my God. And I was like, oh my God, I got it. I thank you. I appreciate it. And we had this like kind of chuckle. And I was like, who was it? Like, who were they? She's like, you want to know? I'm like, yeah. And she's like, why? I'm like, I'm going to find them. I need to know. And I wasn't going to go actively pursue them or chase them down, but she told me who they were. And then I was like, amazing. And systematically over the next like 30 days, I magically bumped into each one of these people and I followed these three steps to a T. And of the five people that I made amends with, four of them were like, I didn't even notice. I do that the whole time. And like, I'm sorry, Vincent, anything else. Like, no, no, it's important to me. We had these good chuckles. We had these good laughs and then we're great now. And then the fifth one was like, yeah, yeah, you did. And I was like, oh my God, amazing. And they gave me some of the most incredible life-changing feedback that only helped me and made us become deeper and deeper friends because the repair created possibility. And for me, I'm like, thank you. Thank you for helping me be a better person. Thank you for helping me communicate better. Thank you for letting me know how you feel because I don't ever want anybody to feel that way. And if I'm the one doing it, I would like to make adjustments. I even got feedback about content that I did a couple months ago about how I was opening the videos to the point where I'm going to dress as Lily Tomlin for Halloween. I love you, person listening. And it was great. And it was impeccable. And it was incredible. And it only helps. And so I think that these are like the most powerful tools in understanding that if there's any disconnection in our life, if there's anything out of alignment, and even if we know and we feel it, that's like a slow eroding ticking time bomb that prevents us from being present. That's not living. That's checking a box. That's like torture. That's prison. And if we see it, we can just go put a Band-Aid on it. And that's okay. But we got to celebrate it because it's only helping us be better as long as we do the repair. And so I love this. I love this topic. I love this conversation. For me personally, I think that this alone and these three steps are probably responsible for every ounce of my happiness, but also every ounce of my self-love. Because every moment I practice this, I realize I'm not born perfect. I make mistakes. I'm going to mess up. I'm going to trip. I'm going to fall. I'm going to say the wrong thing. I'm going to cut somebody off out of excitement. I'm going to give feedback. I'm going to give the wrong advice. I'm going to have an emotional day. And I hope none of those things happen. And they might. And if they do, the only way I lose is if I keep that stinky fish under my seat and I expect my car to smell like roses and rainbows. It's not going to happen. It only happens if I remove that stinky fish and I repair the entire thing in every bucket, in every lens, wherever we communicate, and it doesn't matter the platform. So that's what I got for you today. I love you to pieces. I don't know if I even, you know, hit the wickets in the show. I'm sure Ash is going to be like, you know, you didn't tell him about this and tell him about this. Great. This is just from my heart today. This has been flowing out of me and I really wanted to share this. And what I will say is that in episode 468, which was two shows ago, We talked about the number one silent killer of success, which were the three ways in which we self-sabotage in these patterns of psychological avoidance. And it just so happens, those are the three patterns that we get stuck in instead of repairing. And so the combination of that show with this show is the number one toolbox to recognize the patterns in part where we're retreating, where we're reacting, or, and I always forget the third one. And then when we catch them, how we go about repairing that disconnection, where a sorry ends the conversation, but a repair opens up both parties for a deepening of relationship, trust, and opportunity for growth on both sides. And so that's what I got for you today. Apply it everywhere. Use it everywhere. It's up to you. But this tool exists. This tool works. And I can say that it has been surrounded by me, from this reel, from my own work, to my son's school directors, to the behavioral books that I've read on teaching kids and relearning, and everything that I'm in right now in this season as a parent and a father. This one lands, and it lands every single time. And so I'll say it, it only works if you work it. So you got to work it. So I love you to pieces. Have an absolutely beautiful day. Remember that relationships will always beat algorithms. I'll let us see you in the next episode, or you will hear me in your earbuds. But either way, we're out for today.